Good morning. Today's Daf and Yevamos is Yud. We're on Testament Beis, and we started a challenging sugya. But today's Daf is going to be a bit challenging, so I'm going to ask for everyone's patience, and just definitely going to have to concentrate. The Gemara yesterday wanted to know how it is that we got to 15. Maybe there should be another case mentioned in our Mishnah. So again, let's reset. Because all this is going to be predicated on just basic information regarding the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah gives 15 different examples where you are married to one of the, your brother's married to one of your arayos, and he dies, and leaving you now with the opportunity to do the mitzvah of Yibam, but on the other hand, she's an erva. So let's say, for example, your brother was married to your daughter, and he dies. So not only she eish esach, where of course there's a mitzvah of Yibam, but on top of that, she's also your daughter, which means now that coupled with eish esach, you also have an additional erva of bito. So obviously you can't do the mitzvah of Yibam. And this is the sugya that has taken all of our attention from the Mishnah all the way to basically yesterday's daf, where the Gemara's question is really simple. Mehechi tasty, how do I know? How do I know that the mitzvah of Yibam is not going to be able to override any one of the other arise in the Torah when it comes to the erva veishasach? So mitzvah asabekach, that's the mitzvah. That's the Tosus's language that we saw back on Daf Dalet. But outside of the arena of eishasach, you introduce any one of the arayos, and that's it. Game over. You can't do the mitzvah of Yibam anymore. So mehechi teisi. So what we learned both on Daf Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zion, Ches. So what we've been doing now, preoccupying all of our time doing, and over a week of Daf Yomi, is that we've been going over Me'echi Tasty, how do I know this? From where does it come from, this idea that the mitzvah of Yibam is unable to override any one of the arayos mentioned in the Mishnah? Mishnah gives 15 cases, but predominantly we have been focusing on why it is. Why can't the mitzvah override the Isser? Good. So that has been our preoccupation basically since the beginning of the Masechta. Yesterday, we turned the discussion into a slightly more detailed discussion regarding why specifically the 15 cases of our Mishnah, meaning the 15 cases of our Mishnah, we understand because those are all possible scenarios where your brother's married to someone who's going to be an erva to you. Right? He married your daughter, he married your daughter-in-law, etc., etc. Meaning go through any one of the 15 different cases of our Mishnah. That part we understand. So, but what the Gemara now wants to know, and this question was posed in yesterday's daf, and this is what Levi asked Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, why is it that the Mishnah only stops at 15? Let the Mishnah go further. There are other cases also that could have made the Mishnah. Now, what are some of the other cases that could have made the Mishnah? Remember when Rebbe heard this question posed to him by Levi, so Rebbe gave him a really sharp response, which is, apparently doesn't seem like you have a brain in your head. Okay, which is... We noted yesterday, sharp, really sharp response, but obviously over here, something is lurking underneath in terms of what they're discussing and what they're debating. And so what we are trying to uncover is what exactly did Levi want to intimate and add into the cases of the Mishnah? Well, by the end of today's daf, we're going to see together what he wanted to add as far as the cases of the Mishnah. That's going to come up in later's daf, in the later daf. But what the Gemara now is trying to do is understand and entertain why exactly Rebbe capped it at 15 and didn't extend it to 15. So as we went through yesterday's Gemara, so basically what comes out is the following. Any case that's subject to a machlokas, Rebbe did not include that. Biplukta lo kamairi. Rebbe was not interested in machlokas, meaning he wanted the 15 cases of our Mishnah to be unanimous cases, solid cases that are not subject to any kind of debate. And so any of the other proposals that we proposed in yesterday's daf, in terms of what should have been added to the Mishnah, so it's subject to a machlokas amongst Tanayim, and so Rebbe did not want to add that. He only wanted to add things which are unanimous. I tsaris erva as a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Gemara asked a question yesterday. The Gemara's answer yesterday was, I know, but when we talk about a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai's position is totally disregarded, and that's not even considered a machlokes. And there were a couple of other cases that were suggested as well. Good. But the Gemara said it's subject to a machlokes. That's why Rebbe didn't include it. Okay, now here's where it got difficult yesterday. Here's where it's going to get difficult today. Okay, and that is that there's a case coming up later in our Masechta. The case of the four brothers, two sisters. Four brothers, two sisters, where if we just dealt with a, now I know this sounds funny, a regular case of four brothers, two sisters, a standard case. So what happens is that two brothers marry two of the sisters and they die, leaving these two sisters now for the mitzvah of Yibum for the two surviving brothers. Now, in a standard case, can they do the mitzvah of Yibum? The answer, of course, is no. They can't. Why? Because from each of the surviving brothers' perspective, when he does the mitzvah, if he were to do the Yibum, a mitzvah of Yibum to either one of them, so what is he looking at? He's looking at, of course, the Yavama, who also happens to be Achos Zikukaso, the sister of a woman who he has a Zika with. A Zika is a quasi-marriage. And so now this woman that he wants to do Yibum with, whichever one it is going to, by definition, be the sister of a Zikuka. You can't marry the sister of your Zikuka. It's a Zika is a quasi-marriage. And so therefore, he can't do the mitzvah of Yibum. So does it exempt from Yibum altogether? So we discussed this yesterday. And the answer is no. It's quasi-marriage, but it's not full marriage. Had Zika been a full marriage, so then you wouldn't even need chalitza, because then what you're looking at is another erva being introduced into the discussion, and that if it was a bona fide erva, so then the Zika would be gone altogether. So Zika is not a bona fide marriage. Zika is a quasi marriage. So it's enough of a marriage in which you can't do the mitzvah of Yibum, but it's not enough of a marriage in which you're going to have to do chalitza. That would be if it's a standard case. So what we just went over is basics, ABCs, if you will. And I know it's humbling. Even the basic case over there is complex and confusing. But then it went off the rails yesterday. And this is where we're picking it up today. And that is that Rabbi Chiya says, here's what we can do. We can construct scenarios in which you're going to have, again, the 4-2 construct, four brothers, two sisters, two of the brothers married, two of the sisters, those two brothers die. And you can come up with a scenario in which those two surviving sisters are able to marry the two surviving brothers. How? Because we can have scenarios come up in which you're going to have one being erva to one and the other being an erva to the other. What? And yes, it can happen. One will be an erva to one and one will be an erva to the other. So I want to say a simple example. I don't know if it's a simple example, but as a simple example. So let's say that, let's do a daughter-in-law, okay? So I have now four brothers, two sisters. Two of the Reuven and Shimon married two of the sisters, and Reuven and Shimon dies. It happens to be that, let's just say, for example, of the two sisters, we have two surviving brothers. We have Levi and Yehuda. So let's say Yehuda happened to have been married to the daughter of the daughter of one of the sisters, and the other one was married to the daughter of the other sister. Okay, so now as these two sisters come to them to Yibum, so one of them to one of the brothers is going to be an erva, and the other one to the other brother is going to be an erva. Now, it's great. I know that's a funny adjective, but it's great. Because now what they're able to do is that each one is going to be marrying the non-erva Yavama. Okay. That so far already is complicated and confusing. Oh, but wait. Because Rabbi Chiya made the following statement. Now, Rabbi Chiya, this is what Rabbi Chiya had as a brisa yesterday. Rabbi Chiya says is that what we could do is that we could take this 4-2 case and we can now construct it in a manner in which you're going to be able to do any one of the 15 examples of the Mishnah and plug it in. Meaning, of the two surviving brothers, one is going to be an erva to one, and the other one's going to be an erva to the other. And when we say erva, you could use any one of the 15 cases of our Mishnah. Bito, bas bito, etc., etc. So Rabbi Chiya said, and let's just read inside in the Gemara, and let's just pick it up where we left off yesterday. So the Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav Chaim Tani, Rabbi Chiya, Bekulani, Kori, Behem, Asur, Lazem, Mutar, Zazeh. I'm on Testament Beis, and we're about 4 or 5 lines down. Now we're about 7 lines from the top of the Amud. So I, says Rabbi Chiya, can use any one of the cases in the Mishnah in order to fit into this case of 4-2, two of the original two brothers married two of sisters. Those two brothers died. Those two sisters present themselves to the two surviving brothers. So we really have two descriptions that we want to give two checks to. Description number one, Achosa Shehi Yavimta. They're sisters who are both Yavamas. Check. And Asur Lazem Mutar Sazeh, and Asur Lazem Mutar Sazeh. And because one is prohibited to one surviving brother, so she could do Yibam to the other brother. And same thing would be true with the other sister. Since she is a Erva to the other brother, so she could do Yibam to this brother. Okay, good. No, not yet. Not yet. No, I'm really sorry. In other words, right now, let's just focus right now on this, because the Gemara over here is going to have one pointed question. And I know it's going to take a moment for the Gemara to ask the question, and then afterwards, for sure. For sure, entertain, and let's entertain and discuss. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda, now, on the statement of Rabbi Chia, so Rabbi Chia made a wide statement, which is that I could take any one of the cases of the Mishnayos and plug it in. To which, now the Amorayim are going to be deliberating every case in the Mishnah? I don't know about every case in the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Matargi Mechamos of Eilech. So as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, it only starts off from case number 7 in the Mishnah. There are 15 cases in the Mishnah. Only from case number 7 does it really begin, not the first 6 cases. Why? Because the first 6 cases are all functions of daughters. Aval Shisa Babidereisha Lo My Time Akim and the Bita Beonsa Mishkacha. Because what Rav Yehuda wants to argue is that, look, the only way to construct this case as it relates to Bito is only with the case of Onsen, not with Nisuin. Okay, now, it would take me a little bit of time to go ahead and to outline and describe why it won't work by Nisuin. What I'm going to recommend that you do, everybody, is take a look at the charts, see the charts. It's what the Gemara is saying. You don't need me for this. You just need to do the legwork. Is that it simply would not work. This case of 4 and 2, and they had two surviving, and the two surviving brothers now looking at the two sisters, and the only way it would work where one is a daughter to one and the other is a daughter to the other, it would only work in the case of Onsin. It would not work in the case of Nisuin. The problem, says Rav Yehuda the Amora, is that the reason why Rabbi Chia was not dealing with the first 6 cases is because the Mishnah was primarily focused on marriage, not onsen, meaning not relationships that existed out of wedlock. Now, this is problematic because if you remember in the first daf of the Masechta, when Rashi went over the very first case of Bito, Rashi explained that Bito is mi'anu safso. And our Gemara over here says really clearly that, our Mishnah is not talking about cases of onsen. Okay, and that for sure is problematic. But right now, according to Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Chia's scenario only works from cases 7 through 15. Abaye Matargim, we're not even yet at our point. I'll be clear in terms of when we get to the point of the Gemara. Abaye Matargim, Avbito min asasak, anusasakim, dishkuch, mishkachala, ibais min aunsin to have, ibais min asum to have. So as far as Abaye is concerned, the Mishnah could be talking about cases of aunsin. And it's not just limited to Nisuin. So therefore, you could construct a scenario of 4 and 2, and of the two surviving brothers who now have the mitzvah of Yibam to the two sisters. So one could be a daughter of one, and the other one could be a daughter of the other. And that could work through Onsen. And our Mishnah could be talking about cases of Onsen. Okay, so meaning, according to Abaye, our Mishnah can present in the case of Rabbi Chia, in all of 15 cases. Now I say all 15 cases, but wait 1 second. Not all 15 cases. Aval Eish Zachiv Shalom Yobalamo, lo. My time I came into the Rabbi Shimon, the Mishkachala, Rabban la Mishkachala, Bipluka lo Kamairi. You see, but in the case of Eish Zachiv Shalom Hayaba Olamo, which means that I have now a brother who did not share the earth with the original brother, and so therefore there is no mitzvah of Yibam. The mitzvah of Yibam is only Ki Yeshu Achim Yachdav. The two brothers had to be in the world together. And in the event where the brother dies, and only after the death of the brother, you have the birth of another brother, then under those circumstances, there is no mitzvah of Yibam. Absent of the mitzvah of Yibam, of course, it's just an erva. It's just Eishes Achiv. So this is what's called Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. And what you can do, and I'm assuring everybody, this is where it's going to get really complicated, is you cannot construct a scenario of four brothers and two marrying two of the brothers marrying two of the sisters, and the two brothers die, and having a case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, it simply will not work. So and why it won't work? So for that you would have to go through the legwork of looking at the case and seeing the case inside. Again, I'm going to encourage you to do it just for the purposes of the daf and just to make sure that we complete the daf today. I'm not going to go through the scenario. It simply does not work. Let's just say it like that. And Rav Safra Matargim Afesh Sachiv Shalaya Ba'olamo. And Rav Safra says, no, it could even work even in this particular case, even in the penultimate case of the Mishnah of Eshet Tzachiv Shalaya Ba'olamo, you can have it. How can it work? It can work with six brothers according to Rabbi Shimon, v'simancha. And what exactly would the case be? As we're now on the very top of Yudam and Aleph. So, Mace Nolad V'Yabam. So, it would work in the case where one brother dies, another brother is born, and then one of the original surviving brothers does a mitzvah of Yibam. In that circumstance, and by the way, repeat that. Meaning, and then the second brother dies, and then another brother is born, and then the other surviving brother goes ahead and does a mitzvah of Yibam. In that circumstance over there, according to Rabbi Shimon, what you will now have is, you will have a scenario of two sisters, and by the way, here's an important part, and of the two brothers now who married her, both of them died, and now these two sisters are going to present themselves for the mitzvah of Yibam of now their surviving two brothers, but two brothers who never shared the same earth with the original brothers. Under those circumstances, you can find a scenario where two sisters present to the two brothers, but because one is usher to one and the other is usher to the other, so as a result of that, you can have achosesh yivimto, two sisters who are both Yivamas, presenting to two surviving brothers. One is usher to one, the other is usher to the other, and because that's true, so therefore each of the brothers now can marry the other Yavama. Now, I understand. At this point in time, this case is really complicated and really hard to picture and envision. I recommend you have a chart, take a look at the chart, see the chart inside. In other words, but it does work only according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, it took the Gemara, admittedly, I mean, I did this in really short order, but it took the Gemara a while to make its point, but here's now the point. And the point now is that you have one of the cases of the Mishnah, Eshet Tzachiv Shalaya Ba'olamo, fitting into the case of Rabbi Chiya, four brothers, two sisters, two of the brothers marrying two of the sisters, the two brothers die, and now they present themselves to the two surviving brothers, and you can have a case of Achoseh Sheyavimto, their sisters, they're both Yavamos, and Asur Lazeh Mutel Zazeh, and Here comes the kicker, and it only works according to one shita, not according to all shitas. So, okay, it's fair to say it took me a while to get my head wrapped around this, but here is the upshot of the Gemara. If Rebbe is in fact subscribing to Rebbe Chiya, and that you could take any one of the cases of our Mishnah and plug it into the case of 4 and 2, which is what Rebbe Chiya is asserting that you can, so it works, but only according to one opinion, which means that the defense of Rebbe that he gave to Levi, going back to yesterday's daf on Testament Aleph, where he said, our Mishnah, I'll tell you why it's capped at 15, because I'm only dealing with cases that are non-controversial cases, non-machlokas cases. But if Rebbe subscribes to Rebbe Chiya, and Rebbe Chiya says that all the cases work in the Mishnah, in the case of 4 and 2, yeah, but in the case of Eshet Tzachiv Shalaya Ba'olamo, it does work, but only according to Rabbi Shimon. So now that means that Rabbi's entire defense has a small breach in it, because we do have a case in our Mishnah that is in fact subject to a machlokas. Okay, that's the Gemara's question. And as we are now on the top of Yudam and Aleph, so in defense of Rabbi, so Rav Ada, second line down, Ella le Rabbi, hani klal le Yisrael. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so I'll tell you how we'll defend Rabbi, and that is, Rabbi doesn't agree with Rabbi Chiya. Meaning Rabbi Chiya was the one who asserted that every one of the cases of the Mishnah can be inserted into the case of 4 and 2. Okay, that's a Rabbi Chiya proposal. And Rabbi just simply doesn't subscribe to that. Okay, and once Rabbi doesn't subscribe to that, so then we don't have to worry about this entire question. We're in Yudam Adal for continuing in the Gemara Ravada, Karchina, Kamei de Rav Kahana. Amar Mishmei de Rav Olam Yisrael Rabbi Haniklali. So it could very well be that Rabbi holds of this of the Klala, meaning that this proposal of Rabbi Chiya could be that Rabbi holds of it. V'hachi kamerle. Imo anusas aviv bechad mishkachala betartulam lo kamishkachala. So as far as imo anusas aviv. So let's say, for example, imo anusas aviv. Okay. In other words, remember going back to yesterday's daf. So the very first proposal that Levi made to Rebbe. Remember, Rebbe said the number's 15. Levi says maybe it's more than 15. And the first proposal that was made to Rebbe was the case of Imo Anusas Aviv. Okay, let's quickly remind ourselves. What's Imo, the case of Imo Anusas Aviv? Imo Anusas Aviv is, it's your mother, but in other words, she was never married to your father. In other words, she was your father violated her, and so to produce you. Okay, you were just simply born out of wedlock. Okay, right, does it have to be own sin? It could just simply be an out of wedlock, whatever the case is. In other words, it occurred out of wedlock. So now, if you recall, yesterday, we pointed out, and since the beginning of the Masechta, so are you allowed to marry Anusas Aviv? So if it's your mother, of course the answer is no, absolutely not. But let's say it's not your mother, meaning you come from a different woman, right? And are you allowed to marry Anusas Aviv, a woman that your father was with? It wasn't married to, but was with. So you're allowed to be with her. So it is, hopefully you recall, a machlokus amongst the Tanaim. So according to the Tanakama, she's Muteris. According to Rabbi Yehuda, she's Asura. Now, just remember, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that she's Asur, it's not one of the Arayos. Meaning it's a law of the Torah, lo yigala kanaf aviv, but lo yigala kanaf aviv does not exist in the Parsha of Arayos. It exists elsewhere in the Torah. So even according to Rav Yehuda says that it's Aser, it's not an Erva, it's just simply it's a Lav. Okay. Good? Right? We got the basics down. Now, Imo Anusas Aviv Bechad Mishkachala Betardila Mishkachala. So, as far as Imo Anusas Aviv is concerned, so Bechada. So, if it's one, so what does that mean, Bechada? So, First, let me read the Gemara, and then I'll play this out. So, Imo Anusas Aviv. I'm starting again from the fifth line down. So, Bechad Mishkachala Betartila Mishkachala. Yaakov Beis Achayos Anas. Let's say that what Yaakov did is that he violated two women. So, Achosah Sheyivimta Mishkachala. So, what you're going to find is that can I have now the two sisters? Presenting themselves as Yivamas, sure. But Asur Lezeh Mutar Zezeh La Mishkachala. But what we are not going to have is Asur Lezeh Mutar Zezeh. V'i Beis Nachriyos Anas, and let's say he violated women who were not sisters, so then Asur Lezeh Mutar Zezeh Mishkachala, Achos Sheyivimta La Mishkachala. So I'll certainly have the ability to fit in the line of Asur Lezeh Mutar Zezeh. But what I won't be able to do is I won't be able to fit in the line of sisters, because quite frankly, they're not sisters. Okay. If I could just try all of us to help see this a little bit better. Again, this is really strange, but we'll start with the brothers of Reuven and Shimon. So, and Reuven and Shimon obviously have to share the same father. If they don't share the same father, then there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Then, on the side, so their father violated not one but two women, and they happen to have been sisters. Okay. And they produce now two new sons. And these two new sons, obviously, are brothers to Reuven and Shimon. So we have Reuven and Shimon, Levi and Yehuda. Now what happens is that Reuven marries one of these women, in other words, Anusas Aviv, and Shimon marries the other woman, the other of the Anusas Aviv. Now, under those circumstances, so Reuven and Shimon both die. So now leaving Levi and Yehuda for a Yibum possibility. However, as far as Levi and Yehuda is concerned, can either one of them marry the two surviving Yavamas? The answer, of course, is no. So because in both of those circumstances, one of them is looking at their mother and the other one's looking at their mother's sister. Okay. So in other words, is it Achayo Shehi Yavimta? The answer is yes. Is it Asur Lezeh Muter Lezeh? The answer is going to be no. Alternatively, same exact case, but over here, the only notable difference is that after Yaakov producing Shimon and Reuven, then he produced Levi and Yehuda by having two out-of-marriage relationships. And now, the two women that he's having relationship with are not sisters. Okay, so now, I have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda all sharing the same father. It just happens to be that Levi and Yehuda are coming out of wedlock. I know, this doesn't sound like our religion. I'm well aware of that. So the but okay. In other words, yeah. In other words, out of wedlock. So a woman who is just with your father, so that she's not an erva. Period. She's not an erva. Now is she forbidden to you? Machlokus amongst the Tanaim. There is no explicit pasuk in the Torah that describes such a woman. The only thing there is a reference in the Torah of lo yigala kanaf aviv, which translates as just simply you're not allowed to be with the corner of your father. It's a veiled reference.
So what's
and what's what? Onsen just simply means that he violated her. In other words, it just simply means that they had relations, but no marriage.
The difference between the two is one was consensual and the other one was violated.
No, it's not even consensual violated. That's why I know it's confused. It gets a little bit confusing. No, it just simply means it's out of wedlock. In other words, if your father married her, so that's Eishes Aviv. That's an erva. No, she's an erva to you.
I got that.
Move up to the west side.
I just
want to
understand, because you said that unsin and out of wedlock are different in some way. They're not?
No. In other words, just simply means no marriage.
Okay.
No marriage. If there's no marriage, so then she is just simply your father's right to just use a... Right, not the nicest word, but a conquest. Your father's conquest. So under those circumstances, she's not an erva to you. In other words, if she's your mother, obviously she is an erva. But if she's not your mother, so then she's not an erva to you. And a question amongst the Tanaim whether she's prohibited to you. Rabbi Yehuda says she's prohibited to you, and the Chachamim says she's not. Okay. So now in the second case over here of where dad now violated two women in order to produce the next two sons. And so now, again, same scenario, where one of the brothers marries one of dad's conquests and the other one marries the other, and now they die. And now Levi and Yehuda now are looking at these two women. So can Levi marry his non-mother? The answer is yes. Can Yehuda marry his non-mother? The answer would be yes. Again, all this is according to the Chachamim, not according to Rabbi Yehuda, but the answer would be yes. So, does it fit into the case of Rabbi Chiya's Braisa? The answer is 50%. Because again, there are two comments made by Rabbi Chiya. One is Muter Zazah Asur Lazah. That's fine, that works out great. But the other comment was, and oh, by the way, they're also sisters. In this particular case, they're not sisters. Okay. So, as far as why Rebbe did not include this scenario, it just simply will not fit into both of the comments of Rebbe Chiya. Okay. We are in the Gemara now in Yud Amud Aleph, and we are about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Rav Ashi Amar Lolam Leisel Rebbe Haniklali. So let's say like this. Rebbe does not hold of the Klalam of Rebbe Chiya, meaning Rebbe does not have to fit into Rebbe Chiya. Right? Again, one of the big issues that comes up in today's daf is we know Rabbi Chiya certainly asserts the idea that every one of the cases of the Mishnah can fit into the construct of 4 and 2. Does Rabbi necessarily follow that position? Debatable. So Rav Ashi says he doesn't have to conform. And uva plukta kamairi. And as far as Rabbi was concerned, he's ready to entertain cases that are subject to a machlokus. Okay, so now everyone so far so good? I know it's a hard daf. I know. I'm fully aware of that. So if Rebbe does not necessarily have to conform to Rebbe Chiya, which according to Rav Ashi, that's true. And if Rebbe is also ready to entertain cases that are subject to Machlokas, so now let's go back to the original exchange of yesterday's daf between Rebbe and Levi. Levi says to Rebbe, hey, how come our Mishnah only has 15 cases? It should have more. Rebbe's response, you don't have a brain in your head. And now, well, what does that mean? It seems like Levi's right. Meaning, if Rebbe is not limited, number one, to the rules of Rebbe Chiya, and number two, to cases that are non-controversial cases, if neither of those are limiting him, so then we should add more. So then, what exactly was the response of Rebbe to Levi? The Kamerle, Hachi Kamerle, my time lo diak demasis and Rebbe Yehudi. The Asar Banusas Aviv, because what Rebbe was critical about Levi is that look, when you're reading the Mishnayos, you got to read them carefully. Meaning, you did not take enough care in reading the Mishnayos. Now, we're not talking about the first Mishnah over here, in other words, the beginning of our Mesechta, but we're talking about a Mishnah that's coming up in just a short couple days from now, the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel. Now, the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel reads as follows, Diktani. And as we're going to go through the Mishnah, we're going to learn together that that Mishnah is only going like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. How do I know that? So let's learn the Mishnah, and let's do what Rabbi insists that we do. Read it carefully. Sheish arayis chamurs me'ilah. There are six arayis that are more strict than the first 15. Meaning, what we're going to see over the next number of days is that, and especially when we get to the Mishnah, Daf Yud Gimel, is that there are 15 cases, and then there are six cases. All 21 of them are cases of arayis. But there's a difference between 15 and 6. What's the difference? Actually, it's really simple. In the case of the 15 of our Mishnah, so it's possible how your brother could be married to an erva, meaning to you it's an erva, but to him it's not. That's all 15 cases of our Mishnah. On the next sixth arayos that are coming up on Daf Yud Gimel, so those are the cases where I can't marry the erva, and my brother can't marry the erva as well. Okay, and we're going to go through all six, and we're going to understand all six of them. But in other words, that's the fundamental difference between the 15 versus the 6. No, not but he did. In other words, he can't. Cannot. Now, sheish arayis chamurs me'ilah min me'she'en nesuos acherim sarasei mutaros. So, now, by definition, they can't be married to your brother. And since they can't be married to your brother, so whoever they're married to, obviously is an erva to you, you can't marry her, but in the event of a death, because it's a non-yibum context, so therefore you're allowed to marry the co-wife. Okay, good. That's the Mishnah. We'll see the Mishnah later. And the cases are Emo, Eshes Aviv, Achos Aviv. So we're not going through the whole Mishnah right now because that's not our point. Our point is right now just to focus on the first of those six cases. It's mom, it is your father's wife, and Achos Aviv, and your father's sister. Okay. Now, even casually thinking about it, so you realize that you can't marry that woman, your brother can't marry her as well. Because again, brothers in the context of Yibam by definition means that you share the same father. Oh, so if it is your father's wife, it's your father's wife to you, obviously, it's your father's wife to your brother as well. If it's your father's sister, again, just you don't have to think that hard. If it's your father's sister to you, it's by definition going to be your father's sister to your brother as well. Okay, so now when the first case of that Mishnah, what's the first case of the Mishnah? Your mother. Oh, your mother. So your mother's prohibited to you. Your mother's also going to be prohibited to your brother. Now we can't think about it casually. Now we have to really apply ourselves. We have to really think hard about it. What case is that? My emo elam and nesuos aviv. Well, is it talking about your father's wife? It's not talking about your father's wife. How do I know that? Because hainu eshes aviv. Because look at the very second case of that Mishnah. Second case of the Mishnah is eshes aviv. Ah, so it's not talking about your brother's wife. Sorry. It's not talking about your father's wife. So, elalav anusas aviv. It's talking about anusas aviv. V'katan mimnei she'en nesuos lacherim. Lacherin in lachin lo. Oh, because, and the Mishnah says very clearly. So, who can she marry? She can marry anyone but you and your brothers. In other words, emo by definition is anusas aviv. A woman that your father was with. Didn't marry her, but was simply with. And produced you. So now, you can't marry her. Now, you can't marry her because it's your mother. And the Mishnah says really clearly, and your brothers can't marry her. Why can't your brothers marry her? Meaning, assuming, of course, it's not their mother. So your brothers can't marry her because it's anusas aviv. Is anusas aviv prohibited? According to Rabbi Yehuda. That's exactly the point. Man shama ladis lehai svar Rabbi Yehuda dasar banusas aviv, mishum hachilo tani le. So that's why now, why didn't? Meaning, now we understand when Rebbe hears from Levi, hey, why didn't you add anusas aviv? So now we understand. Rebbe says to Levi, oh, I see what's going on over here. You're not learning the Mishnah carefully. Meaning, learn the Mishnah carefully, not just the first Mishnah, but the upcoming Mishnah, and you'll see. Meaning, once you apply careful thought to that next Mishnah, you'll see that that next Mishnah, by definition, has to be the sheet of Rebbe Yehuda. So now our Mishnahs are going like Rebbe Yehuda. Meaning if the second Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda, the first Mishnah is also going like Rav Yehuda as well. We're assuming a common thread of Tanaim in the Mishnayos. So if the second Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda, so is the first Mishnah. Now what did you want to do again? Let me hear again. What did you want to do? You wanted to add anusas aviv to the first Mishnah? The Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda. So Amalei Ravina LeRav Ashi LeRav Yehuda Nami Mishkachala. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Let's go down this road. Meaning, so what case did Levi want to add to the Mishnah? The case of Anusas Aviv. Why did Rebbe object? Because learn the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda. Anusas Aviv is Aser. That's why it wasn't added. Okay, now, let me bring back a point that we discussed earlier today. But let's bring it back. And let's be really clear about this. Anusas Aviv, even according to Rav Yehuda's prohibited. Is she an Erva? And the answer is no. She's not an Erva. The Arayas are only those women mentioned in Achrei Mos, in Perek Yud Ches. Those are the Arayas. There are women who are prohibited that do not fall under the category of Arayas. They're what's called the Lav. Okay, now what do we know? We know, right, we're going to be discussing this at length here in Yevamos. We're going to be discussing it even in more detail in Kedushin. We know that even if the Torah prohibits a relationship, if it's an Arayas, if it's an Erva, there's no Tfisas Kedushin. If it's a Lav, there is Tfisas Kedushin. Okay, good. Those are the rules. Now, even as I say that, by the way, I know not everyone's in agreement with that. It's Machlokas HaTanayim. Don't matter. What I just presented right now is the accepted halacha. So now, for any one of the other brothers, are they allowed to marry Anusas Aviv according to Rav Yehuda? The answer is no. But what if they do? Does the marriage take place? Yes. So now the Gemara wants to know, even according to Rav Yehuda, L'Rav Ash, L'Rav Yehuda, Nami Mishkachala, Di Avar V'Nasav. So what if you marry her, even though the Torah prohibits it, but the marriage will still take effect? So the Gemara says, so now you could add Anusas Aviv. Ah, you're not allowed to marry her? True. But if you did, the marriage takes effect, and now what? And now what's going to happen is that he dies, leaving you now the Yibum opportunity with your mother. So the Mishnah could have added that case. So the Gemara says, D'i Lokatani. The Gemara says, no. Our Mishnayos are dealing with cases that are legitimate. In other words, we're talking about cases where your brother was allowed to marry her 100%. Is your brother allowed to marry your daughter? 100%. Yes, totally mutter. Is your brother allowed to marry Anusas Aviv? The answer is no. Okay, fine. Amle Rav Ashi Lav Kana Belo Di'i Nami Mishkachala. So Rav Ashi says, wait 1 second. Even in a non-forbidden context, you can find a case. How are you going to find a case? Yaakov Anas Kalaso. Okay, I'll read it at first in the Gemara. I'll read it quickly, and then I will illustrate. So Yaakov Anas Kalaso Oli Mimenu Ben. So Yaakov violated his daughter-in-law, producing a child who mays Reuven below Banim, and Reuven dies without any children. Vanafla Kame Bura, falling to her son. Umigo Di'i Asiri Tzara Sanami Asiri. She's prohibited. The tzara would be prohibited. Okay, Yaakov Anas Kalaso, Yaakov violating his daughter-in-law. Again, this is now drama to the nth degree, okay? But I'm not interested in the drama. I'm just interested in understanding the case, okay? But obviously, in other words, this is beyond drama. But anyway, what happens is as follows, is that you're going to have Reuven and Shimon, but how was Shimon produced? So really unfortunately, in that Reuven's father Yaakov, Reuven's father Yaakov violated his daughter-in-law, meaning one of Reuven's wives. Reuven was married to two women, and so Yaakov violated, not married. Excuse me, there is no marriage. In other words, it's his daughter-in-law. There's no Tfisas Kedushin. But Yaakov violated one of his daughter-in-laws and produced a son through that. So now, Shimon is Yaakov's son, okay, which means that Shimon is Reuven's brother. Meaning Reuven and Shimon now are sharing the same father. They're sharing Yaakov. Okay, this is where the drama comes in. Again, I'm not interested in it for the purposes of the daf. It also means that Shimon's mother is Reuven's wife. I'll just say it again for the purposes of comedy. It's Purim today. So Shimon's mother is his brother's wife. Okay, slightly off the rails, but anyway, the point is as follows. Now, in the circumstance now where Reuven dies. So when Reuven dies, so now who's being presented to Shimon? So I'll tell you who's being presented to Shimon. Number one, his mother, and then the other wife. So his mother now to him is an Erva, and not, in other words, a bona fide Erva. And so since his mother is an Erva to him, So his wife is also going to be Tsaraserva, and she will also be Petura. Why doesn't the Mishnah record that case of Yaakov Anas Kalaso? In other words, then over there, so there was no Isser. Now, I say there was no Isser. That's a funny comment, there was no Isser. How was Shimon produced? Okay, so, and the Gemara makes exactly that point. So, sorry. I read it. So v'nafla kame bra umigudi asira tzarsanami asiri. Amale ba'achosa de hetera kamairi ba'achosa de asiri lo kamairi. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. In other words, from the perspective of Shimon, he did nothing wrong. But how was Shimon produced? The only way the Shimon was produced is only through Isser. Okay, so what comes out over here is as follows, is that now this finishes a really long thread. The thread started on Tesamad Aleph, the question that Levi posed to Rebbe, why not add another case in the Mishnah? And what the Gemara has been discussing now for the last off from Tesamad Aleph to right over here, Yud Amad Aleph on the bottom, is the Gemara now has explained why it is that Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi capped the number of examples of Mishnah at 15, did not add more than 15. Okay, and it is, admittedly, this chunk of Gemara is really complicated because it not only involves understanding the other possible cases that could have made its way into the Mishnah, but also going through really a difficult piece of Gemara, which we're also going to happen to see again later in the Masechta, where Rabbi Chiya feels that the case of 4 and 2, 4 brothers, 2 sisters, and where the 2 brothers died, leaving these 2 sisters candidates for Yibam for the 2 surviving brothers, and you could fit in any one of the cases of our Mishnah into that case over there, so that part admittedly is really difficult. And in fact, you go back to yesterday's stuff and look at the Rashi on Testament Base, where Rashi actually does all the heavy lifting, where Rashi goes through how every one of the cases could apply in any one of those cases. Okay, but basically what comes out from all here, from the entire discussion, is that Rebbe felt that there was 15 and no more than 15. Why didn't he add more than 15? He wasn't interested in cases that are subject to controversy. He wasn't interested in cases that can only be created through Isser. In other words, he wanted, I know this sounds funny, but we could say it now. He wanted straightforward cases. And the 15 cases of our Mishnah are straightforward. Straightforward in 2 ways. 1, they're not controversial. 2, they don't require an Isser to get to these cases. Okay. Afal Pikein. The Gemara says, Afal Pikein. When Yud Amud Aleph, the Torah is the bottom of the Amud, and despite everything we just said, Batka Levi ben Masisin. So Levi had his own Braisa. Okay, in other words, when Levi had his own Braisa, so an edited version of the Braisa that Levi had, so he added. Okay, and we know that, in other words, this was a point of debate that we discussed now for the last off between Levi and Rebbe. So Ima Pamim Poteret Sarasa, Pamim Ina Poteret Sarasa. Sometimes mom is going to excuse a co-wife, and sometimes she won't. Keita. Haisa Ima Nesuas Aviv Nesuas Achiv. V'nisas Achiv Aviv Ameis. So let's say the mother was married to the father and then married to any one of the brothers and she died. Zuhi imo shein poteret sarasa. She's not going to excuse any one of the co-wives. Now over here, I know it's tricky, but once again, I'm going to try to make this as simple and digestible as possible. And it's really easy. In other words, if she was married to dad, so is she allowed to marry any of the brothers? The answer is no. Furthermore, if she was married to dad, if any of the brothers attempt to marry her, so is the marriage successful? The answer, of course, is no. In other words, Ashes Aviv is an Erva. Since Ashes Aviv is an Erva, so none of the brothers can marry her. One of the brothers marry her. I put that in quotes for those who cannot see. So one of the brothers marry her. It's simply not a marriage. There's no Tfisas Kedushin. And then he dies. And now what? And now the Yavamas are being presented to the surviving brothers. She's not a Yavama. She was never a wife. Okay, That's case number one. Haisa's, now we're on the top of Yud Amud Beis. This is now Levi's version of the Mishnah. Haisa imo anusas aviv. But let's say she wasn't married to dad. Let's say just the dad just simply was with her, right? He violated her. In other words, they weren't married. So it was anusas aviv, venisas achiv me aviv. And then she married any one of the other sons of dad, meaning not her own kid, but she married any one of the other sons of dad. Now again, is she allowed to? Machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether she's allowed to or not. But even according to Rabbi Yehuda, says she's not allowed to, but she's not an Erva. The Kedushin is going to be Tofes. So that's now going to be an example where now, as the brother died, presenting now mom as one of the Yavamas. I know, it's a funny sentence, I know. Presenting mom as one of the Yavamas, well now she's a bona fide Yavama, and now obviously she's an Erva, so she's off the discussion, and not only is she off the discussion, not only is she going to be excused from Yibam, so is the co-wife as well, because the co-wife now is Saras Erva. So again, just to see the case clearly, in other words, what happened was, I know, it's confusing. I know it's confusing. To see the case clearly, so dad was a violated woman, they had a child. Dad also had other children with legitimate wives. So now you have a series of brothers, a collection of brothers, not all sharing the same mother, but sharing all the same father. Okay? Now one of the brothers married dad's conquest. Good. So is it, in other words, not any one of dad's wives, but in other words, the correct. Oh, okay, good. Clarity. Oh, okay, good. Perfect. So now, the Afa Pisha Shanu Chachamim Mishas and Chamesh Esrei Yesh Lanu Losif Sheish Esrei Kigon Zu. And now Levi says, now I know the Chachamim said 15, right? It's I'm so interested over here in like the tone, meaning Levi is being a little bit, now I'm saying this in the context of learning, in the context of learning. He's being a little bit defiant over here. Meaning, I know the Chachamim said 15. I know that. Meaning, this number 15 of our Mishnah obviously was a really, really old Masorah. So I know the number is 15, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to add a 16th. I just added it. Meaning, look at the case that we just presented over here. Okay. Okay. This is a good place to stop. I know. We leave ourselves off with a... but the truth of the matter is that this next piece really... takes us through the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and the truth of the matter is that we really tackled the difficult part of today's daf. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review the entirety of today's daf really goes back to yesterday on Tesamon Aleph on the beginning of on the bottom of Tesamon Aleph. So the Gemara turns its attention to why is the number 15? Why is it any greater than 15? Levi challenges Rebbe. Now, you already hear from Rebbe's response, by the way, that this was a contentious issue. What Rebbe says back to Levi, it seems like you don't have a brain in your skull. Like, how can you even suggest to add a 16th? Now, we now know the end of the whole discussion where Levi still added another one. So, again, the tone I'm getting is that this was a contentious issue. Anyway, and over the course of yesterday's daf, Tesamon Beis, and today's daf, Yudamad Alf, and Yudamad Beis, so we see what Rebbe's thought process is. Why doesn't he add another one? So again, I'm just going to say it succinctly, and I'm oversimplifying it. He doesn't add any more cases because, number one, any case that's open to controversy and debate, he does not want to add it. Anything that's a machlokas, so he does not want to put into the Mishnah. That's number one. Number two is that any case that involves an Isser, he also does not want to include that in the Mishnah. And all the other cases that we entertain over the course of today's daf, on Yud Amun Aleph, the Gemara entertain a lot of different cases. And yesterday's daf, Tesamon Beis, the Gemara also entertained a lot of different cases. But all those cases are either A, subject to a debate, or B, going to involve an Isser, and Rebbe did not want any of those cases to make its way into the Mishnah. Meaning, those cases may be correct, but in terms of the criteria of what makes it into the Mishnah, it has to be non-controversial and non-prohibited. Okay, that is Rebbe's stance. Despite all that, Levi added another case. So what was the case that Levi added? Anusas Aviv, the case of Anusas Aviv, where one of the brothers marries dad's Anusa, and again, obviously not his mother, his brother's mother, but not his mother. So he married Anusas Aviv, and even though our Mishnayos are going like the Sheet of Rav Yehuda, and even though it's prohibited to do so, but if he does, the marriage takes place, it works, and then this brother dies, and now leaving the surviving brother a opportunity to do the mitzvah of Yibam, number one, with his mother and his mother's co-wife, in other words, the other wife of his now late brother. So now, because he can't marry his mother, because she's an Erva, also can't marry the co-wife as well. Levi added that case to the Mishnayos. Now, in order to get to that case, you have to be violating an Isser. But again, as we pointed out numerous times today, but I can't overstate this enough because it's a critical point to understand this entire discussion. Anusa's Aviv is prohibited. It's Usser, but it's not an Erva. So that's why the Kedushin, in fact, is in fact going to take place. And so that's how you get to this case. Albeit, you can only get to this case by the brother violating an Isser in the Torah, but it's an Isser, not an Erva. And therefore, as a result of that, the Kedushin takes place. That's what Levi did. And what we're going to do tomorrow is that once we open up the door to entertaining cases of the Mishnah, which are subject to Lavin, so then there are a couple of other cases to add as well, but we'll do that tomorrow.